Amos 3:7, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. He will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, in the natural mind or the religious mind, let's put the religious mind, people that are religiously taught rather than Bible taught, that doesn't make sense. God can do anything. Well, you're right, except for one thing. He can't do anything against what he said. And he said he won't do anything unless he reveals it to somebody. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen, Pastor Jay. We know, you ever read the Bible? Go to John 16, verses 12 and 13. John 16, 12 and 13 is a verse that kind of says similar thing. John 16, 12 and 13. It's New Testament. It's in red. Jesus made this statement. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak. And, get this, he will show you things to come. Amen. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to show us things to come. Amen. That's part of his ministry. So he does speak about what's coming. I said he does speak about what's coming. He'll tell you ahead of time what the Lord's going to do. He'll tell you what the Lord wants to do. He'll tell you ahead of time what the devil's going to try to do. He'll tell you ahead of time what people are going to try to do.
All right.
And he doesn't always, what he says is not always, because he reveals it doesn't automatically mean it's his will. Somebody say, what are you talking about? Well, let me give you an illustration. In the Bible talks about King Uzziah, Isaiah going into the king, Hezekiah going into the king and saying, set your house in order for you're going to surely die.
Right.
And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and repented of some things. And then the Lord sent the prophet back. Prophet Isaiah said, go back and tell him, I've heard his prayers. I've seen his tears. Tell him I've added to his life, 15 years or something like that. So you can see, somebody said God changed his mind. No, that was God saying under the circumstances, this is the way it's going to be. But it's not my will. There's a lot of things that are not God's will, but under the circumstances, they're going to happen.
Yeah, come on.
How many of you know there's some things when God says, this is getting ready to happen, we can change.
Yes, sir.
If we know from the Word of God that it's not His will.
All right.
Amen. So, but here, the Bible says He will show us things to come. So He speaks of things to come and tells us what's coming. So it shouldn't be a surprise that God shows a man what's coming. Why would that be a surprise? The Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to begin to say more of what the Spirit's saying to you. I'm not just saying it to you for you. I'm saying it to you to declare it so that the body can begin to use their faith for it. So I'm going to do that this morning. I'm going to share what the Lord's saying to me. About 2020. And this is not everything about 2020. The whole Bible is for 2020. Amen. And so, but you understand there's some things the Lord is emphasizing here. You know, we only prophesy in part. We only know in part. We prophesy in part. The Bible says that. But whatever is revealed is, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, the secret thing belongs to the Lord. But what is revealed is given for our children and our children's children. So whatever God does reveal is given for us to latch on to with our faith and believe God for it. So back here in Amos, he said, I will do nothing except I reveal it to my servants, the prophets. Now, in other words, he's saying that he limits himself to what he's going to do in the earth until he reveals it to somebody. You know, God had revealed Jesus' birth for centuries through the prophets that it was coming. Gave many specific details. Amen. And whenever Jesus showed up in the flesh, there were people on the earth standing on those prophecies. Anna, we have record of Anna. We have record of Simeon. Remember those? Those are two people we have record of. There might have been ones we don't have record of. But they were in the earth believing God for what God had said would come to pass concerning the Messiah. They were in the earth believing God. And that's what brought Jesus into the earth. Somebody had said it by the Spirit, and then somebody latched onto it in faith and believed God for it. How many times do we read in the Bible that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet or Hezekiah, or somebody said something under the Spirit? And what God said to a man, and that man spoke out under inspiration of the Spirit, somebody is called to lay hold of that and believe God for it to come to pass. Go to 2 Timothy. I believe it. Well, which one is it here? I'll tell you whenever I get there. I believe it's, is it 2 Timothy? Where is it? 1 Timothy. Look at chapter number 1, verse number 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Thou by these prophecies might war a good warfare. Do you realize we can stand on what God has said? Remember the Bible, but the Bible says in Hebrews, don't reject, I believe it's something like that, what him that speaketh from heaven. Notice he didn't say him that spoke from heaven, but speaketh. God's still speaking today. Now, nothing that anybody stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, nothing that contradicts the Word of God, the written Word of God, right, trumps the Word of God.
That's right.
Or trumps the written Word of God. Right. Anything that God says today will be in line with the written Word of God. That's how we judge these things. Because anything that anybody prophesies is to be judged, the Bible said. And how do we judge it? We judge it by the written Word, and we judge it by the Holy Spirit, the inner witness. And so, he does reveal some things, and once it's revealed, it's the person's responsibility that God spoke it to speak it under inspiration of the Spirit. And then those who hear it, it's their job to begin to lay hold of it and decree it. And believe God for it to come to pass. That's what 1 Timothy 1:18 is talking about. He said there, talking about prophecies, that's somebody speaking under inspiration of the Spirit, right? Prophecy is speaking in a known tongue under inspiration of the Spirit. And he said, take those prophecies and war a good warfare. Then what's the next part of verse 9? I mean, what's the first part of verse 19 say? Holding faith. That's how you war a good warfare. You take what was said by the Spirit and you grab onto it with faith. And you begin to decree it. You begin to say it. Am I still in the right room? And so that's the responsibility of the hearers. And as it's decreed, the whole atmosphere gets charged with it. And faith gets, the atmosphere gets charged with faith, and that's what enables God to bring it to pass. And that's how Jesus got in the earth to begin with. And I'll tell you how Jesus is going to get into the earth again. He's going to get into the earth by people doing exactly what I'm talking about. And when Jesus told that parable about the unjust judge, he finished it by saying, what I'm really saying is, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? In other words, that's what's going to bring me back. Somebody on the earth is believing for everything he said would come to pass. You know what's going to bring Jesus back? The outpouring of the Spirit, the harvest of the souls of the earth, great manifestations, signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, translations, visions, dreams, miracles, legs growing up back, arms growing back, deaf eyes, deaf ears opening, deaf eyes opening, blind eyes opening, excuse me. Hello?
Yes, sir.
The dead being raised. People marveling and coming in saying, what is going on?
Yes.
Having visions of hell and screaming, saying, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Do you realize we only have our toes in the little bit of the edges of the waters of the move of the Spirit? Somebody said, why do you say that is going to bring Jesus back? James chapter number 5. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives what? the early and the latter rain. That's the outpouring of the Spirit. The outpouring of the Spirit, which produces signs, wonders, and miracles, will bring the harvest in, which will bring Jesus back. He's waiting for the harvest. So if what you're doing has nothing to do with the harvest, you're not helping bring Jesus back. Well, I'm believing for a new car. Well, that's great. God wants you to have a new car, but put your faith on something that helps bring the harvest back.
Amen.
Get the harvest in. Bring Jesus back. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and preach if that's all right. So, praise the Lord. This is a divine pattern. All through the Bible, God always decrees a thing before he does it. And the reason he decrees it, he needs somebody to lay hold of what he said. Hallelujah. Bible says in the book of Proverbs 29 verse 18, without a vision, the people perish. That just simply means, if you look up the word vision, that word vision is used all through the prophetic books of the Old Testament. And it is a, literally, you would translate it, prophetic oracle of God. Prophetic oracle of God. So without God speaking, the people perish. Without divine revelation of what God's saying to the church, the church is going to run wild. The church is going to go in all different directions. The word perish means naked, exposed, run wild with no direction. Without a prophetic word, people are running in all different directions. The word of the Lord spoken by inspiration of the Spirit gathers focus to faith and gathers the people of God around a focus and a direction to use our faith for. Can you say amen? So we have some things the Lord wanted us to share this morning. But we're not going to just talk about what the Lord said, but what we must do about it. You ever read that passage in 1 Chronicles 12, 32? The tribe of Issachar, they knew the times and seasons and also what Israel should do. It's important that we not just find out what God's saying, but find out what we should do about it. Because we have a part to play in it coming to pass. And if we do that part, then God will be able to move and do what he wants to do. A lot of people haven't been taught that way. They've been taught, you know, God's sovereign. He can just do anything he wants. Well, why did he declare it all ahead of time all the time? Because he wanted somebody in the earth to grab a hold of it. We already saw those verses. Amen? And so, praise the Lord. Are you ready to get into some things here? We need to war a good warfare with what God wants to do. So 2 Chronicles 20:20, it talks about believe his prophets and you'll prosper. Remember that? Let's go over there. Let's go over there and look at it. 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 20. This is a story where they were going up against an army three times their size, Israel. Had an army three times their size coming against them. And the Spirit of they gathered together in prayer. Lord, what do we do? And the word of the Lord came, the Spirit of God came upon a man named Jahaziel in verse number 14. And he said, hearken, verse 15. He said, basically, be not afraid nor dismayed for reason of this great multitude, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go out against them. Behold, here's where they're coming from. And verse number 17, you'll not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And so they worshiped God there and said, okay, what should we do? And they said, let's put the singers out and go out against them, because God said, go out against them and don't be afraid. So we're going to go out there in faith, singing the praises of God, singing the victory. Yes. Oh, how much time do you got? We could spend some time on that. But we see they went out there and did that. But notice what verse 20 says. They arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. In other words, this man had stood up and spoken under inspiration of the Spirit, and it was a prophecy given to them to help to lay hold of with their faith. Yes, amen. 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 It's not a man speaking. It's God speaking. Amen. Some people were texting the Millers this morning, and I said, tell them this is what the Holy Ghost said. And they texted back and said, I delivered your message. I said, correction, God said.
Yes.
Amen. It's time to get over a man and hear from God. God speaks by his Spirit through men.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so I don't think I'm mad. I'm just simply saying we got to not be sloppy. If the Holy Ghost tells you something, tell everybody, God said. God said. God said. God said. God said. If you don't lay hold of it with your faith, it will not come to pass.
Come on.
You got to treat like God spoke. And if you see fire in my eyes, it's not against you. It's against unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. People get familiar with their pastors. That's just pastor. Okay, then do without. Well, praise the Lord. Not everything I say is from God. Sometimes I'm just talking myself. But whenever I say the Lord said, or somebody says the Lord said that you trust, don't treat that sloppy. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you got a war, a good warfare. There's somebody coming for that word. And there's somebody going to try to take your life another direction. And you got to say, no, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And war a good warfare with the word of God. Hallelujah. And so what shall we do with what the Spirit of God has said? We're going to share some things the Lord has said. What shall we do with it? Well, we have a part. And we must stand our ground. War a good warfare. Amen. Get over into the Spirit and spend time praying in the Spirit about it. Calling for it in the Spirit. And exercising authority over demon forces that are trying to keep it from coming to pass. Amen. And so believe that what the Spirit is saying and these things will come to pass. Faith believes the Word of God, whether it's the written Word of God or it is God's Spirit that has spoken to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's important that we not doubt the Holy Ghost speaking to us. Brother Hagin one time was spoken, the Lord spoke to him and said, in phase two of your ministry, you were unfaithful. And the Lord said, here's the reason why. Because he said, you doubted that it was my Spirit that spoke to you. You know, you and I are going to give an account to the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ for what the Spirit spoke to us specifically. I said to you, give an hour a day to prayer or whatever. I'm not saying that by inspiration of the Spirit. But if the Lord told you that. You know, that's different for everyone. God doesn't speak that to everybody. But if he spoke specifically to you about something, you have to give an account for that as much as the written word of God.
Yes, sir.
Lord Jesus. Yeah, it's time to sober up. And so he said to Brother Hagin, you didn't believe that it was my Spirit that spoke unto you, so you were unfaithful in that phase. Well, that produces unfaithfulness then, doesn't it? All right. Now, like I said, Jesus said in Luke 18:8, he said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? So this kind of faith is what brought Jesus into the earth to begin with. This kind of faith is what's going to bring him into the earth again. All right. The second time. And then that includes the rain of the outpouring of the Spirit. It includes the harvest of the souls of the earth. It includes the miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Jesus speaks by his Spirit for us to lay hold of it in faith. Actually, Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, all these men have been speaking about a great outpouring of the Spirit for a long time. Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, Brother Copeland, Jerry Seville. You listen to these men and they're speaking about a great outpouring of the Spirit. People have looked and said, well, they've been saying that for a long time. I haven't seen anything come to pass. That sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? You ever read that verse that talks about people mocking them, saying Jesus is coming back? And saying he's not coming back, you know? the scoffers that say, where's his return? Everybody says he's coming. He hasn't come back. You ever read that verse?
Yes, sir.
That's not a badge of honor, you know, but God didn't give those men a wizzo button for being doubters about Jesus coming back. Well, there's people doubting, although prophets have prophesied it all the way back to the Old Testament, and Jesus prophesied about it. Modern prophets have prophesied about it, and we still haven't seen it. Why? Somebody hasn't laid hold of it. That's an indictment on me as much as you. It's time for us to lay hold. Let's be the generation that lays hold of it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Do you realize God is a multi-generational God? He'll work with people for generations just to get his will done. If one generation doesn't fulfill it, he'll start working with the next generation. Well, we're using our time for these things. We shouldn't need to, but let's just keep on moving. What do you say? He shows us things for so we can lay our faith on it and believe God and pray and say what he's saying. Now, Isaiah 42 says, he said, a new thing do I declare. A new thing. This is this passage where he talks about these things he's getting ready to do. Let's go over there. I want to read this to you. Isaiah 42, verse number 9. He said, verse number 9, the former things are come to pass. New things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. New things do I what? Notice he didn't say, new things do I do. Huh?
Yeah.
New things do I what?
Declare.
How do I start things?
Declare.
I start things by saying them.
Yeah.
I start things by saying them. So, he said, a new thing do I declare. He didn't say do. Why is that important? Because God says it before he does it. And he's looking for somebody to lay hold of it. He's looking for somebody to agree with it. Like I said, I hesitate to even preach on some of the things I'm getting ready to preach because if it doesn't affect our life immediately, sometimes we don't lay hold of it. And if it affects other people's lives more than it affects our life, then we're not as apt to lay hold of it in faith. There are people dying and going to hell because we don't have the move of the Spirit that God wants us to have. Well, all right, so let's keep on moving here. If you know something, then you can lay hold of it. If you know it, then you can be in the flow of it. If you don't know it, you can't get in the flow. Amen. If you're in the know, you can be in the flow. In other words, you can get in faith and get in agreement. There's been something, what I'm going to share with you that the Lord said to me the morning after Christmas didn't come because the Lord just decided to say it. It came because for a year I've been laying hold of this. For a year. All right. So, but he says, you know, we can lay hold of it if we know what God wants to do. Now, if we are in the know, we can get in the flow. And if we are in the know, we can be more than just a spectator and watch it happen all around us. Watch God do it through others. And we can actually be an agent of it coming to pass rather than just seeing that it is coming to pass. God needs people in the earth to bring it to pass, not just watch for it to come to pass. Amen. Like I said, Jesus didn't just pop into the earth. There were people watching over the prophecies and laying hold of them, and God gave them a promise, you won't die until you see the Messiah born. Woo! Glory to God. They laid hold of it. And so it came to pass. Praise God. Only then God could bring it to pass. Now, Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Go over there to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2 is the great outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And he stood up and he said, because they remember how they all began to speak in tongues. People were wondering, what is this? And they thought they were drunk. He said, these are not drunken in verse 15, such as you suppose. This is the third hour of the day, about 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Say that out loud.
This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
He recognized it was a fulfillment of something that was said under, a man said under inspiration of the Spirit. And so it'll come to pass, he said, it'll come to pass in the last days. Now, the last days in the Bible is not just our day. The last days started at the beginning of the church in Acts chapter number 2. The last days is 2,000 years, really, on God's calendar. It's the church age. But the Bible talks about the last of the last days. It talks about the early and the latter rain in the last days. The church started out with a great outpouring of the move of the Spirit. It will end with a great outpouring of the move of the Spirit. It will not end underground, afraid, oppressed by the government. We're going out of here ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. We're going out of here in a blaze of glory. Yes. Not in a cloud of dust because we're running out of our caves. Hallelujah. And he talks about the latter rain. He talks about the great outpouring of the Spirit in the last days. Hallelujah. So what Jesus is telling us, or Joel through the Spirit is telling us, that in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And then he said, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I got to back up. I can't get into that yet. The Lord spoke to me. One of the things he said to me on Christmas morning, he said to me, know that this is not the hour of darkness, but this is your time. The church is triumphant until the end, until she is caught up. That blessed me. Bless me. Why did that bless me? Because I don't know if you've looked around a lot lately, but gross darkness is upon the people. I'm talking about the wicked out there in the world. Isaiah prophesied it. You remember Isaiah talks about it in 60th chapter, verses 1. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. And then he says, gross darkness shall be upon the people. There's a dichotomy in the earth. What's happening in the church is totally different than what's happening in the world. People see what's happening in the world and they start prophesying doom and gloom. Why don't you prophesy what the Bible said? In the last days, there'll be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. And the Lord said to me, no, this is not the hour of darkness. This is your time. There's a lot of people. In fact, I was preaching in a city one time, preaching about the authority of the believer holding off the works of darkness until Jesus comes, you know. And the guy came up to me and said, no, don't you know the Bible prophesies the Antichrist is coming. It's going to be dark in the last days and all those things. And I bit my tongue because I knew if I opened my mouth right then, I was going to get into sin. Because what? I got so angry at that. So angry at it. And I told a group of people later, I said, that kind of thinking is the problem. Somebody said, well, doesn't the Bible prophesy the Antichrist? Yes, it does. In his time. Go read it. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Then shall the wicked be revealed in his time. It's not his time. It's time for the church. It's time for the glorious church. He talks about in Ephesians the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. That's a church full of glory. The church in the last days is full of glory. Full of signs, wonders, miracles. Woo! Glory be to God. We're not in a cave. We're praying Jesus come back because we're living defeated. We're ruling and reigning. And we have the power of God flowing through us, and we arise and we shine because our light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. So the Lord said to me, no, this is not the hour of darkness. This is not the hour of darkness. It's your time. The church is triumphant until the end, until she's caught up. Well, if you look around, there's great darkness on the earth. I mean, people are saying the most asinine things. Putting out movies about a gay Jesus. Defying everything that is righteousness. Yeah, you understand what I'm talking about? Hatred against anything holy, anything that is clean against the church is at an all-time high in the United States. Are you out there? You're going home. Good people are the enemy. Wicked people are the ones that people celebrate. The more twisted you are, the more vile you are, the more the people want to celebrate you. Some of you know I like comedy, but it is the toughest thing in the world to hear clean comedy. I was listening to a guy the other day. I thought maybe because he's talking about God and thing, I thought maybe he was clean. But it didn't take long. You know how that goes. And he actually got to the point. He said, now, I want to tell you two things because he talks about the Bible. So two things from the Bible. He said, these will work for you. He said, now, don't think you have to be born again or anything. You don't have to be born again or anything. Just do these things. I went, click. I said, that's a lying spirit right there. No wonder my spirit was bothering me. It's very difficult. There's a lot of twisted things out there, a lot of twisted people. Their thinking is all twisted up. They're clouded. That's directly against what Jesus. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Now, who am I going to believe, Jesus or you foul mouth? I'm siding with Jesus. Ye must be born again. And while I'm on it, since I'm on a roll this morning, the Spirit of God tells me some of you need to turn off some of the motivational speakers you're listening to. They're taking principles, but they remove the power of God. And it's affecting your spirit. Even some in leadership. I'm telling you by the Spirit this morning. You better turn it off because it's affecting you and my relationship. You're going one way, I'm going another way. Okay? Just so you know. Now, I'm under a different anointing this morning. Come back next service and I'll be happy, I guess. If you happen to look lately, there's gross darkness out there. Hatred against the church and the voice that speaks hatred is getting louder and louder. We are the enemy. We are the bad guys. I'm talking about in their mind. We are the problem. We're what's holding progress back. Yeah, progress of wickedness. That's what the Bible said. We are the salt of the earth. Yes. We are preserving righteousness. Yes. We are not for gay marriage. Yes. We are not. Yes, we're holding some things back. We're standing up and saying, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. We know you don't like us. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. Somebody said, I didn't sign up for that. Well, you better get ready. Make your decision. Are you in the world or are you in the church? So the enemy's raging. There's hatred against us. But see, what our job is to not get caught up in returning that hate to them. We don't get in their flow. We stay out of that flow. We are in the flow of love. We bless them. Whenever they curse us, we bless them. We do good for them. Remember what the Bible said, how to act on these things? So, but anyway, if I can just get right to it. God said it's not their time. They're raging. They're imagining some things against us, but it's not their hour. They want to get on with the wickedness they have planned. They want to turn this nation into something else, but it's not their time. I said, it's not their time. This is the time of the church. It's our hour. It's the hour of the church. In fact, it's the greatest hour of the church. It's our time to shine. Hallelujah. The enemies imagine some things against the church. Against righteousness, against righteousness in politics. Listen to me. He's imagined some things. He's got some strategies, some things he wants to do. But the church in 2020 will tread it down. Hear me what I'm saying. The church will tread down in 2020 what he's trying to do in politics. Poo, going. It's going the right way. It's going the right way. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, are you still out there?
Yes, sir.
I believe this is the church's greatest hour. Really, what I saw as a teenager when the Lord started, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 15, I believe I was, and started seeing some things in the Spirit about a move of the Spirit, signs and wonders and miracles and so forth, I thought it was in the earth at the time. And of course, the beginning of it was in the earth. But what I saw, I remember, I'll never forget it, sitting, around the year, I'd have to go back and look. I would say around the year 2000 or something, it started dawning on me, wait a minute, this is still not what I saw whenever I was 15 years old. What is coming now is what I saw when I was 15 years old. The Lord gave me visions of things. I'm talking about way beyond what we're seeing today, way beyond what we saw in the Word of Faith era. That was just planting the seed. We're going to see the harvest. Hallelujah. It's the time of the greatest outpouring of the Spirit on the earth. Now go to Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number, we were there. Let's just read verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants, upon my handmaidens, I'll pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want you to focus in on this here. It'll come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out of my Spirit. And here's the first thing he mentioned. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Say that out loud. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Are you seeing visions or dreams? That tells you if you're old or young. Kidding, just kidding. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what the Spirit of God spoke to me about. Amen. For a year, I have been standing in faith. I don't think it's been exactly every morning, but I'll guarantee you 95 to 99% of the mornings I wake up, one of the first things come out of my mouth, Father, I thank you this morning for a greater manifestation of the Spirit of seeing and knowing. I thank you, Father God, for insight into mysteries and secrets, into things that are unseen and unknown. I thank you for insight into the plan of God. I thank you, Father God, for turning some things in the body of Christ. I thank you for giving us wisdom on how to handle these revelations. I'm calling for the revelations that belong to this era. And there's a whole lot of things like that I say. I won't get into all of it right now. Just, it comes out of my spirit under divine inspiration. I've been telling some people about it. I've been saying this for about a year. I have been a divine urge to pray this way. Amen. Now, my mind at first started saying, but really I ought to be praying about the power gifts. Because that's what we want to see, these signs and wonders. And the Lord spoke to me the morning after Christmas. Are you ready? So after praying this way for a year, and I'm not quitting. Somebody said, how long are you going to pray? As long as it takes. I'm staying with it. But after praying this way for a year, you can imagine the thrill through my heart when the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, about 2020, it'll be a year marked by Acts 9 events that brings revelation to the true church of how to prevail mightily through the miraculous. It will be the beginning of a great turn in the church. Whew, glory be to God. Now you might say, what does that mean? Acts 9 events? Well, go over to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. I'm just now getting my service started. I don't really know if I can get all this out, but we'll get it out as much as we can here. Acts 9, you know the story. The Bible talks about Saul, chapter number 9, verse 1. Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, talking about Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Notice that breathing out threatenings. The Greek for breathing out threatenings, it says inspired by the spirit world. In this case, demons. Now, we're in that day today. Somebody said, where are we? We're in Acts 9:1. People are breathing out threatenings. Have you been paying attention? Anybody been paying attention? I mean, if you wear a hat that says, make America great again, people, they got to arrest them. Don't look at me. See, some of you think I'm talking politics. That madness is not political. That's demonic. That's demonic. It's not about politics. It's about demons and God on the other side, God. Someone said, I didn't vote for Trump. Well, I mean, God's using him. He's president, so pray for him. Someone said he's not perfect. And who is?
Right. Come on now.
He's a flawed man, just like you and me. A while back, we got into the Spirit in a meeting. It wasn't a church meeting. It was one of, I don't remember if it was a partner meeting, whatever. And the Spirit of God fell on us to pray for the president. And we went so far, and the anointing was real strong, and then all of a sudden the anointing lifted. I said, Lord, the anointing lifted. He said, you've gone as far as you can go. I said, Lord, why? He said, there's too much unbelief in the room. People talking against him. We got to get rid of that. Bible didn't say talk about him. It said pray for him. Pray for him. So, but anyway, that makes me mad. Well, then go be mad. I guess go out there and demonize or something. I don't know. Go manifest something out there. I don't know. I'm tired of being politically correct. You know what I'm talking about? Nobody did that whenever former presidents were in office that we didn't agree with. We prayed.
Amen.
Anyway. So, this is getting treaded down in 2020. Ha, ha, ha. So, it'll be a year marked by Acts 9 events. Well, as you can see, the beginning of Acts 9 here, we're in that time now. There's a great amount of breathing out threatenings. So, but let's keep on reading. Verse number 4. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? He got a revelation real quick, didn't he? Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he's trembling and astonished. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, rise, go into the city, and it'll be told thee what thou must do. And you can read on. There was another in Acts 9. This is Acts 9. Remember, the Lord said Acts 9 events. Then he went in and he prayed for 3 days. And then he had this vision of a man coming into him and saying, and laying hands on him. And actually saw... had another vision of Ananias coming in. And then Ananias had a vision. And Jesus appeared to Ananias and said, Ananias, hear my Lord. And he said down there, notice he said, there's a man over there praying. Verse number 11. Go to the street which is called Straight. Inquire the house of Judas, which is one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming into him, putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. Or later he said, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, he went his way and laid his hands on him. But notice there's 3 visions in that chapter. Paul had a vision on the road to Damascus. Then Jesus appeared to Ananias in a vision and talked to him about what to do and go over and minister to Paul. And he said, and also Ananias, Paul had a vision of a man coming in and laying his hands. So Paul had 2 visions. Ananias had 1 vision. So now you can understand what the Lord meant when he said that 2020 will be a year marked by Acts 9 events. That will bring revelation to the church, the true church, about how to prevail mightily through the miraculous. It will be the beginning of a great turn in the church. Hallelujah. Until Paul had that experience, he only knew Jesus after the flesh. And he persecuted him. I'm checking my spirit if I can say something. Huh? People don't see who somebody is. They just know him after the flesh. When it's God that's using them. Huh? Well, if you don't get what I'm talking about, then the Bible said, let him that be ignorant still. You got to know people after the Spirit. When God raises somebody up, you got to know them after the Spirit. And, I'm seeing more than I've seen. I'm seeing more now than I saw back laying on the bed at the house when I saw this the first time. You see that? It'll be a year of Acts 9 events. Dreams, visions. And what do the dreams and visions do? If you look at this closely, if you look at it very closely, it did two things. Number one, it stopped one of the greatest persecutions against the church in that day. Huh? Previously, he only knew him after the flesh, and it was persecuting him. But then God revealed, if you read Acts, if you read Galatians 1 and 2, Paul said, God revealed his son in me. He revealed to Paul who Jesus really was. That he was the Messiah. That he was God in a man. And it straightened his string out. Rather than be against him, now he's all in on it. Oh, somebody said, I don't get what you're saying. Well, listen to the Spirit, not just what the words, listen to the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Somebody said, what rock? And most of the time we think of Jesus, and in one sense, yes, because he is the chief cornerstone on which the church is built. Paul said, I've laid the foundation, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Then the apostles and prophets was laid on top of that. And then there's a building going up. We're the body of Christ, remember? That's Ephesians 2. And so, yes, in a general sense, Jesus is the rock on which the church is built. But specifically, that wasn't completely what Jesus was talking about. If you look at the verses before, he had asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist raised from the dead or whatever. Or one say, you're Jeremiah the prophet. I guess they thought that was reincarnation. I don't know what they were thinking. But then Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not what? Revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Peter got a revelation of who Jesus was by the Spirit. Huh? You following me? And so then Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, upon what rock?
Revelation.
Two things. Jesus generally, but concerning Jesus, two things. Number one, a revelation of Jesus. Not just Jesus, but who he really is. Number two, confession of that revelation. Jesus said, who do you men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, I'm going to build my church on revelation of who I am and confession of faith of who I am. That's what the church is being built on. Amen. Am I making any sense? And these dreams and these visions of Jesus visitations that young men and old men will have in 2020 will bring further revelation of who Jesus is, what He's doing, how to operate in what He's doing in the miraculous, and who's for Him and who's against Him. And it'll turn some persecution. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to get that revelation. But we're going to get what God's plan is in 2020. It'll turn some things. These, I'm seeing further than I've seen. These things will be in two areas, in the political area, but also in the church. How to get the church further into the miraculous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a battle on out there. But we win. I said we win. Ha, 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 ha. So what should we do about it? Start praying and asking God for these revelations. Amen. God wants to do some. Oh, my, my, my. If I could tell you. Well, let me describe some things of what I'm saying. Let me give you some illustrations. Like, for example, you remember whenever Dr. Dufresne was standing, when an usher or, I forget, I think it was an usher in his home church. And they're having communion, and he said, he's just a young Christian, he said, Lord, I don't know what communion's all about. Show me what this is all about. And the top of the church came off, and he saw a vision of Jesus on the cross. And remember, these diseases hitting him. All these diseases hitting him. And God revealed Jesus to Dr. Dufresne, and out of it came a miraculous ministry. Now you understand more what I'm talking about? I'm looking for some Baptists, some Methodists, some Episcopalians, some Catholics to have some of these same dreams and visions of who Jesus really is, to get in on this miraculous flow of the Spirit with us.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're getting closer and closer to the time where there will be men and women of God. The Lord will have their resumption on that women. Men and women of God will stand before the president and declare the word of God, and the miraculous will go into action.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 And they will say, that's God. We're going that direction. Because of a dream, because of a vision, because of revelation given to that person that stood there and spoke it. Remember the prophet. In the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah, he declared there'll be no rain for a certain time. And then later that it would rain. He said he didn't just come out of, you know, a game of golf and decide to go out and say that. He said, I speak for the Lord whose I am. And notice this, before whom I stand. In other words, I've been in the presence of God. I'm saying what the Spirit's saying. Hallelujah. And so there'll be people that'll stand before, because they've been in the presence of God. They'll be stand before mighty men and decree some things, and it'll change the direction and get us into the plan of God, get us into the miraculous. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's more to this than I can get out this morning. And we'll just look for our opportunity to get the next part out. What do you say?
Amen.
Glory to God. So what's our part? Well, let's just start saying. I don't know if you wrote down some of these things the Spirit of God said to me. There's more that I didn't have time to get to. But let's just start saying the year 2020 will be marked by Acts 9 events that bring revelation to the true church of how to prevail mightily through the miraculous. And it'll be the beginning of a great turn in the church.
Amen.
You think about Pastor Nancy's experience in Russia, where Jesus came and visited her and talk to her about the price of the double portion anointing. That's a fulfillment of what I just said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I didn't say it, actually. Excuse me. The Lord just said about 2020 be a year of Acts 9 events. Helps us get in the miraculous. See, it takes consecration to get into the miraculous. When Brother Hagin was walking the earth, he had visions of the Lord. And those visions brought revelation of the authority of the believer. You realize that?
Yes,
now, nothing that wasn't already in the Bible, that already, it just we weren't seeing it.
That's right.
So it hindered the flow of the miraculous. But we see it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And other things, other revelations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When Dr. Dufresne went to heaven, the Lord said to me, there's two flows that he was in that must not be lost, and I want you to contend for it. Number one, he said, the ministry of angels. Number two, he said, the flow of these revelations in dreams and visions. Now, you know what those are? Dreams and visions are a manifestation of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Amen? And that's what I've been calling for a year. Lord, I'm calling for a greater manifestation of the spirit of seeing and knowing. And most all the time, I mention word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And my mind said, well, no, we need to call for the miraculous. And what the Lord's saying to me now is, that'll get us into the flow of the miraculous. It'll show us. It'll show us. It'll show us. I said, it'll show us. Hallelujah. 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 When we act on what we see, it brings forth the miraculous. That's how the miraculous comes. How did the translation of Philip from one place to the other come? He went and obeyed the Spirit. Join yourself to that chariot. He led him to the Lord, baptized him, and then, boom, he's out somewhere else, found in another city. Whoa, now there's the miraculous we haven't seen in our day yet. Translation from one place to another?
Come on.
How'd he get into that?
Yeah.
Obeying what he saw the Spirit said to do.
Amen.
Let's go for it. What do you say?
Yes,
somebody say, what if I miss it? Well, you probably will. But at least miss it trying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I don't know. We're going to keep sharing this because it seems as if, you know, sometimes, well, how does that affect me? Well, listen, you get in the flow of the Spirit of seeing and knowing and start acting on it, life's going to get exciting in a hurry.
Yeah.